I'm Jeff Booth, and this is Faith Friday here on the Jeff Booth Show, brought to you by the Center for Sexual Expression and Education. For as long as there have been evangelicals, they have wanted to put an end to the separation of church and state. It's been a long-term goal for a lot of other people of faith. And under the current president, we have seen a continually deteriorating separation. More and more governmental money is going to religious organizations with little controls. But there's a case going before the Supreme Court that you might not have heard of. It's Espinoza v. Montana Department of Revenue. And the Supreme Court's going to hear that towards the end of this month. And it is a bit concerning. In Montana, they have an education tax credit program. And what's at the center of this case going before the Supreme Court is that about a third of the schools that participate are religious and also, explicitly anti-LGBTQ. Here's how it works. Tax cuts were provided to individuals and corporations that donated to private school scholarship groups. Because Montana has a constitutional provision barring public money from going to religious schools, and almost all of the schools participating in the program were religious, the Montana Supreme Court found the program unconstitutional, shut it down in 2018. Now that case is going before the Supreme Court. The question is, can a state bar public funding for religious groups? The answer should be yes. The secondary question, should the public be forced to basically pay for organizations that are openly discriminatory? And in this case, at least a third of them are. The answer to that should also be no. Public money shouldn't go to religious groups, and public money shouldn't go to discriminatory groups, period. Many court watchers fear that this Supreme Court, this extremely conservative Supreme Court, will simply say, yeah, go ahead, give them all the money you want, which would turn the whole doctrine of the separation of church and state on its head. It'll be a while before we get a decision, but this one's very concerning. It could be the first step to completely eliminating the separation of church and state. We have talked over and over on this segment about churches doing the right thing. In this case, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons, did the right thing. They turned in a child sexual predator. Now, his wife is suing the church for $9.54 million. I don't know how she got to that exact number. Maybe they're just rounding it off and it's actually $9.4,063.27. So here's what happened. Christine Johnson finds out that her husband is having sex with a minor. So she does what her church teaches her to do, and that they go and confess and repent his sins before church clergy. Now, in their belief system, that should be the end of it. And do keep in mind that this is not the same structure as they have in the Catholic Church. It's an entirely different organizational structure. And they don't have, like the Catholic Church, confession. At least not in the same way that the Catholic Church practices it. In this couple's minds, he raped a child. They confessed to the church. Done. Instead, the church turned him over to the cops, which they absolutely should do, and which they absolutely should be required to do. The girl, by the way, was under the age of 16. So he pleaded guilty to 4 counts of second-degree sexual abuse and was sentenced to 15 years in prison. Now, this did happen, 3 years ago, something like that? Right now, there's a Utah bill that would require clergy to report child abuse confessed to them, and they should. But at the time, I'm not familiar with any law that says that the church can't do that. So his wife is suing for his loss of income and for extreme emotional distress. Well, she should have been extremely emotionally distressed because her husband was fucking children. What the hell is wrong with this woman? She's not mad at her husband. She's mad at the church for turning this pedophile in. The details on this are really murky. I've read some places that the child that he molested was his own child, that he has 5 children. Some places report he has 4. Really unclear what's going on. I mean, if he was molesting one of his own children and she was cool with that, that explains why she just didn't care that he was molesting children. Because normally, the first thing you think of, well, he's molesting some other child, when's he going to start molesting his own? but she clearly didn't care about that. This is all murky and confusing, but the one thing that's absolutely certain, this guy belongs in jail, and this woman should have a humiliating defeat in court. And while I was just saying that, I didn't like the murkiness of this, so I did a little more research. It's a little clearer now, according to Oregon Live, which I think is a pretty reliable source. Yeah, it was his own child that he was molesting. That's why she's suing on behalf of her four children, not the fifth that was molested. And he molested that child for 4 years. She should lose her children. They should be put into protective custody. And if there's anything else that the courts can do to her, I hope they do. A number of people were concerned about Donald Trump's statement about strengthening students' rights to pray at school. There is nothing to this. Children have had the right to pray at school. They can continue to pray at school. There's nothing stopping them from praying at school. I don't even know of any big stories where people were not allowed to pray to themselves at school. The problem is when you force other people to pray to your God. And Christians, a lot of them absolutely, positively do want to force other people to pray to their God. They do not have a problem with that. Our Constitution was very, very specific about that. There can be no official state religion. Now, I've long been an advocate that we should have a state religion. We should just say that the religions have to fight amongst each other to decide which is the one version of Christianity that will be applied, and then everybody else can just suck it. And that'll keep them busy, and maybe they'll leave us alone a little bit. The worst Secretary of Education that we've ever had, Betsy DeVos, said that the government would be protecting students' right to worship. Nothing to protect. It's already protected in the Constitution. And no one is telling kids that they can't pray at school, period. There's even Christian groups where they pray as a group. But they're there because they choose to be, not because they're forced to be. So yeah, whenever you hear this stuff, it's troubling, but there's absolutely nothing here to really be worried about. It's just a purely political move. Trump desperately wants to be reelected, and he's got to get all the evangelicals on his side to even have a shot at it. They will make a lot of speeches about how he's protecting religious liberty. He did nothing. Now, the education department under the extremely right-wing Christian nationalist Betsy DeVos did issue a statement that will require local school districts to certify that they have no rules or regulations that conflict with students' right to pray at school. None of them do. Easy peasy. It will also require states to notify the education department if there are complaints against a school district regarding the right to pray. Well, that one could be a little problematic because, you know, people are going to complain that their right to pray is being denied because they can't force all the students to pray. There are many instances where coaches forced the teams to pray with him, and that's against the Constitution. And certainly Christian parents are going to use this to complain. But it's still unconstitutional, and Trump can't change that. It should be pointed out, though, that the Education Department doesn't have similar reporting requirements for a school district when it's accused of other types of discrimination, only for this one type of discrimination, which technically does not exist. Now, I don't know that this next story is true or not, but I'm inclined to believe it because the language that the school uses in denying it is very suspicious. And it's Kentucky, where sanity goes to die. So here's a story. A young 15-year-old girl posted a picture on social media. She is wearing a rainbow-designed shirt and a rainbow cake with 15 on it, celebrating her birthday. Now, according to the family, she was kicked out of the Christian Whitefield Academy because of this picture. Now, school came back with, oh, the family is lying. That is not the reason. She's had serious problems. And they know, this is the great thing about this kind of excuse, is that they cannot report what her problems were. Although technically, I don't think they should be allowed, and I'm not sure they can, even mention the fact that she has, quote-unquote, 2 years of continuous violations of our student code of conduct. Should they really be able to say that and then say, oh, but we can't tell you the details because, you know, protected. And then they used some weasel words. They said, it is unfortunate that one of the student's parents chose to post internal family matters on social media. I don't know, getting kicked out of school is an internal family matter. And we hope our former student is not adversely affected by what her parents chose to make public about her situation. What's her situation? You kicked her out, thinking she's gay. She says she's not gay. The parents say they were told that the cake and the sweater represents gay pride, and anything having to do with homosexuality is, you know, reason to kick you out. I believe the school is lying, because, you know, and I hope a good attorney comes forward for the parents.